Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Accessibility Edition of the Coworking Values Podcast. I'm Emily Breeder, and I facilitate work in challenging circumstances. Today, I have with me Dom Hyam from Purple Goat Agency. Dom, can you tell me about Purple Goat and what makes it different from other marketing agencies?
Yeah, absolutely. And hi, really nice to be here. So, as you say, Purple Goat, we're the world's first and only disability-led, inclusion-focused marketing agency. And although that sounds like a bit of a mouthful, ultimately what we do is hold clients' hands through the experience of working in and around disability in the most progressive and authentic way imaginable. We take a social first approach, activate a lot of kind of social influencers and campaigns, and have a kind of really global reach. So we work with brands all over the world, some of the biggest in the world, to really make the most creative and progressive and inclusive campaigns out there.
Wonderful. Yeah. Dom, I'd really love to hear what you think people are doing right and wrong about and around accessibility.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of wrong, that's probably the easier bit. there's just a world of opportunity out there when it comes to accessibility and inclusion. And all too often, brands just don't know where to start. They don't know what to do to kind of get on the journey of accessibility and inclusion, because they're very fearful or worried about doing something wrong or not doing it perfectly at all. And so therefore they choose maybe to do nothing. And in reality, you know, that's the worst, is to kind of sit back and do nothing. And for me, the brands that do it well are constantly iterating and developing their thinking. They're amenable to change, and they're kind of adapting their practices accordingly, again and again, and not kind of sitting back, patting themselves on the back, going, "Oh, aren't we brilliant? You know, aren't we great?" So for me, you know, that kind of is overarchingly what good and bad look like. In practice, I think for the good, we see brands that just are very open to kind of trying to be as diverse and inclusive as possible, and leaning on the lived experience of those in the community to help shape what accessible and inclusive experiences and comms looks like. Just something as simple as, you know, always utilizing the sort of accessibility features on socials is something that is so simple and so straightforward, but unless you've kind of worked with the community and know how best to utilize all those tools, you might not use them or might not use them very well. And actually, you know, it's something so simple to bake into your workflow, and we see brands, you know, starting to slowly adopt that now over time, but it still unfortunately isn't the norm, but it very much should be.
What do you think is the most important, if we talk in terms of like low-hanging fruit when it comes to accessibility? You know, a lot of businesses seem to have kind of one-and-done approach. We put in a wheelchair ramp and everybody's good, right? So what are some ways that people could easily just take it a step further, including like what you were just saying about socials, but also in a more practical sense when you're coming to a co-working space or engaging in work with other people?
Yeah, I think thinking about the different touch points that you are engaging with your customers is probably step one. So the physical environment is obviously one of them. So making sure that you have an accessible space, absolutely, like that's of course the first thing that comes to mind. But it's not just the ramps, it's the kind of, you know, are the corridors being kept clear? Have you got, you know, the facility to make adjustment for people if they need a slightly different kind of setup in that workspace? Is there a complementary pricing policy for an individual that might need to bring a personal assistant with them? Or, you know, are they three? You know, it's like, it's making sure that you're dotting the I's and crossing the T's of the whole experience, not just that physical access part of accessibility, if that makes sense. Also, you know, with that in mind, it can be the website. You know, we want to portray ourselves as being inclusive, but if we're doing all the right things in the physical environment, but then the digital environment isn't accessible, then that screams that you're not doing everything you can, and you're not truly kind of living by what you are trying to say, standing by in what you're doing in the physical environment. And I think also just framing different lived experiences in kind of the way you think about accessibility. Obviously, a wheelchair user is the most commonly visualized depiction of a disabled person, but only 8% of disabled people are wheelchair users. So there's a real opportunity there to make accessible experiences for a diversity of disabilities and lived experiences that are truly accessible. And by doing, you know, by thinking through those different lenses and those different sort of disabilities and those different needs, you're going to make a much more holistically inclusive environment and experience for everyone, not just your disabled customers. I think one thing that people often, you know, think is that making accessible experiences is kind of making an other way of doing things. But in reality, if we can create the most inclusive experience, it benefits everyone, because everyone can benefit from good design, good accessibility, good inclusivity. It just makes sense for all.
It sounds like you're almost saying that we need to find some, like, I'm picturing in my head, like, augmented reality, but where you can look around you and you see the world in another person's perspective, but the perspective of people who have all different kinds of disabilities. Like for myself personally, I have 3 family members who are blind, and helping them navigate the world and seeing them, of course, navigate the world on their own, obviously. Yeah. It's been a real challenge. Blind people often get kind of pushed to the side because their disability is more difficult to see, literally. I was trying to make our website accessibility just more comprehensive across the board, and I enabled some plugins and I did some different things on our websites, and I sent it to one of my family members that is blind. Actually, I sent it to all of them, and the feedback I got was, yeah, it's like 30% there, and that's when I had done so much work around it. And I feel like it's mostly because I can't go through that piece of technology the same way they do, and you know, without using my eyes.
Yeah.
So is there a way to kind of bridge that gap for people that are not disabled or not disabled in a specific way to understand better, understand what approaching their work is like?
I think the two overarching pieces of advice that I try and give is, number one, And in the case of your website, this isn't particularly helpful, but when embarking on a project, if you're baking in the inclusivity and accessibility at the start, it makes things so much easier as you go further down the line. So retrospectively, you know, like retrofitting the accessibility can be quite tough, but if you're thinking about it from the outset, it's just building on what you have already done really well by design from the start. I think the other thing is having the community on hand to support in that experience. So if you, with your family, for example, even something as simple, and quite possibly you did this anyway, but it's asking the community themselves, like, okay, what are the key things that I should look at or change right now? Like, what are the things that should be worked on that you think are like absolutely fundamental that can create the most benefit in the quickest way? Because the community live and breathe it every day, speaking with them and getting their insight and perspective is fundamentally important. And obviously a diversity of experiences with that as well. Once you have the insight from the community, at that point, you're kind of on the way to making a plan for how you can then deliver that. And you obviously mentioned around how they said, oh, this is kind of 30% better. But I think that if you're open to constantly then evolving things over time, that that's fine. You know, I wouldn't expect things to be perfect overnight after some work on something. I would expect there to be a continuous back and forward into the future where you're evolving and they're evolving and it moves in that direction. So in some senses, people have to not be that hard on themselves. And the fact that you made it 30% better is amazing, because that's 30% that many other people would never have done. But then there's also a load of scope to improve and develop into the future. And you've got that relationship, so you can lean on them to help you to achieve that. I know that's a kind of meandering way of answering your question, but I suppose those are the two kind of main areas that I would sort of say you could start to kind of create that genuine change.
Dom, is there a wrong way to approach a community to ask about accessibility and disability? Because I feel like a lot of the time people are nervous to ask certain questions because they're so afraid of doing the wrong thing. And that kind of points back to what you were saying in the beginning, where they're so afraid of doing it wrong that they do nothing.
Yeah. So very honestly speaking, it will completely depend on the individual. The way that we try to frame ourselves at Purple Goat is very much creating a safe space where anyone can ask us anything. There are no wrong answers, no wrong questions, sorry. And it's a super safe space. And I think that that's a really powerful thing to offer people, because we are such a polite race and we don't want to create, you know, any sort of negative situations, so we avoid those like the plague. But the reality is that individuals have been, you know, they're very well aware of their own lived experience, so you asking questions isn't something new to them. They would have been asked that question a million times before, so it might seem like a big thing for you, but it isn't necessarily a big thing for them, because they're acutely aware of their own, you know, lived experience and reality. I think one major flag is just around the value of expertise. Disability shouldn't be framed in the same conversation as kind of charity. And if you want to make your website accessible, I wouldn't advise trying to lean on the community to give you all of that advice for free. It should be a kind of professional transaction, as it were, where obviously if it's family, that's a different matter, of course. But like, if you're trying as a business to build inclusivity and accessibility into what you do, there is a massive business case around creating more accessible and inclusive experiences. And so framing it as such is really important. If you want a quality output, you need to invest in that, in that experience. And that's something that, you know, very much has been picked up in the way that we think about disability in society, and moving away from this charitable kind of pity model of how it's framed. So that's kind of one big watch out, I suppose, that we would always advise moving kind of into this sort of territory.
Right. The language around it has certainly shifted. You've reminded me of the last thing you said there. We moved away in the U.S. of saying handicap towards disability or accessibility. And of course, that term comes from cap in hand, as if there is charity involved. And that just, it does not respect the person involved.
It's like, well, if we think about how disability is portrayed in our media, we've had really this polarized view of either triumph over adversity or a kind of pity party of disability. And we very rarely see the nuance and the kind of humanity of just people. There are people that happen to be disabled in that huge middle. You know, we all have our intersectionality. We all have our traits that make us who we are. And disability forms, you know, just one of those for so many people, whether you identify as disabled or not, or whatever else it might be. There's such a breadth of experiences and lived experiences that, and language, of course, you know, is so kind of individual as well. But overarchingly, we have to make a more nuanced and progressive conversation of it, because it isn't polarized. It isn't just two types of disabled person. They're like the achiever and the person that's desolate for us to feel pity for. It's a whole world of people in the middle that are just people that happen to be disabled.
Right. There's the assumption also sometimes that those people don't, they always need help, and that's not always the case. I'm thinking in particular of a story I read recently of a disabled woman that was present at the Boston Marathon bombing. And she was trying to get away, and somebody came up to help her and did not assume that she needed help. She leaned down while they were, you know, all this chaos going happening around them, and asked, "Do you need help?" And didn't just grab her and go in her wheelchair, which, you know, it could be dangerous for that particular person, and you don't know what they've got going on. It's important to just ask, just use your words.
And I think that's really important. It's like, there's nothing wrong with asking, like, because people are afraid to ask because they don't want to cause offense. But the other two options of not asking at all, so not offering that support, can be quite difficult for some that might really benefit from it. But at the same time, just making assumptions is also not the right way either. So having an open dialogue, feeling comfortable to ask the question, being treating a disabled person like anyone else, and not asking invasive, overly personal questions like you wouldn't to anyone else, is just all part of it. And I think that as soon as people can feel comfortable in this dialogue being exactly the same type of dialogue as you would with anyone else, the more you kind of realize, oh yeah, it's no big deal, and they just need to conduct myself in the way that I would, you know, in any other aspect of life.
I think it's important also to remember that we all exist somewhere on the disability spectrum.
Exactly.
At some point in our lives. So if you approach it from that standpoint of, yeah, I know I'm not going to judge you immediately by the fact that you can't walk around or that you don't need assistance, you know, seeing or hearing or anything like that, you don't know what that person's got going on. And don't assume. And so just approach everyone from that standpoint of, I'll just ask the question. And, you know, what do you need? Anything else? How can I meet the needs of our situation better? Is there a way to do that through marketing? I mean, you run a marketing agency. How does that play out in your business, Dom?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for us, we often like take a very layered approach to that. So one is thinking about the user experience of a customer and making sure that we're thinking about all the touch points that we have with the customer and baking in relevant opportunity for adaptation and interaction and accessibility at every part of that. The other one is about representation. So if I'm a brand and I'm not showing the people that I want to be my customers in my ads and my content, then how will they feel represented by me, and will they feel connected to my brand necessarily? So it's really important to make sure that what I'm doing as a brand is reflective of the people that I want to engage as well. So that's kind of the second part of it. And then third, I suppose, a vulnerability. It's having an open dialogue with customers about where you are on that journey and what, you know, you're trying to achieve, and allowing them to kind of feed back into that process. So the more we can say to customers, hey, we're, you know, been doing this, we've been really excited to be on this journey around inclusion, we've done this, we know it's not everything we could do, but over the coming years we want to do more of this stuff, and and we're on the path, but we're not perfect. I think that like vulnerability around being open and honest also is really powerful, and that can be something that you say in a job interview. It could be a piece of text on a website. It can be in your social comments when someone sort of asks you a question or gives you feedback. It's, that vulnerability can manifest itself in different places. And I think that, again, it's a real superpower of brands to be confident enough to engage with that vulnerability as well.
We have the Workspace Design Show coming up on February 27th and 28th in London, and you'll be one of the panelists for that. So what kind of topics should people look forward to there?
Yeah, absolutely. For our talk, we're going to obviously be thinking about accessible and inclusive workspaces and what that means for individuals. So really kind of getting under the skin of what a co-working environment can be, the benefits of that to different communities, and then what individuals can do to start to create more inclusive experiences, but also the opportunities around creating accessible and inclusive experiences as well. So I want to keep it quite broad, want to, captivate people in a way that sort of opens their eyes to things that maybe they've not thought about before. But ultimately, we want to encourage individuals that maybe not through any malice, but maybe through ignorance, haven't thought about what co-working can be for different people. And for many, this co-working is a fantastic solution and a fantastically flexible, accessible solution. So it's just around crafting that so it truly is, inclusive to everyone, and everyone feels like there's an opportunity for them, within their business and their co-working space.
Thank you for that, Dom. And if somebody wanted to reach you, how would they go about it?
So probably the best way is my Purple Goat email, which is dom@purplegoatagency.com. Also, I'm Dom Hyams on most social platforms, with the handle Dom Hyams. So you can also find me there. And genuinely, I encourage people to feel free to get in touch with you if you want to ask a very simple, small question, but were too afraid to ask anyone else. You can ask me. And similarly, if you think that you work for a brand that could do with some support in creating some really progressive, inclusive campaigns or comms, obviously speak to me around Purple Goat as well. So here for anything.
Great. And if anybody will be in London on the last week of February, consider going to the Workspace Design Show and attending the Co-working Assembly Breakfast Show, both mornings of that event. For details, please join the London Co-working Assembly mailing list on londoncoworkingassembly.com. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Accessibility Edition of the Co-working Values Podcast. I'm Emily Breeder, and we've been talking to Don Hyam. Thanks so much, Don.